Adam Simmons is a Santa Barbara-based geologist and hydrologist. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Geologist and hydrogeologist.
I actually looked it up, and he's been coming on for many years, and I see him at inspections. I've advised some buyers of mine if I'm in escrow, and there's some telltale signs of possible water intrusion, unstable soil. He's got the maps and the history to advise people of what you can do. And never in all the years, though, that we've been together, did we ever fathom the events that occurred with this, you know, the denuding from the fire and then the subsequent mud? I don't know if it came up with me. Did it ever come up with you at any point in time?
No, that was
nobody.
That wasn't on the radar. That's for sure.
Was not on the radar. But now, here we are, the ninth week of the year 2018, and coming up on 2 months since the mud event.
Right,
January 9th. And you have been very busy on behalf of homeowners and insurance companies in surveying
the landscape
and
sure.
The,
yeah, there was a actually even before the event of January 9th, we had the fire starting in, what is that, December 6th or whatever date that was there, 4th.
Yeah. Thereabouts.
And that was actually a kind of a warning or alarm bell there. Just that fire alone was tremendous in terms of its an amount of watersheds that were just denuded. And so that always puts fear in any geologist's head. Hey, we've got no vegetation up there and it's all ash covered, and now we have to worry about this runoff that's going to occur if we get a heavy rainfall.
And you've done that in the past?
Well, every time there's a decent sized
fire,
which there's been plenty. I
mean, which we've had plenty.
Oh, yeah. We've seen lots of them. And so that's always the concern. Hey, what's down?
But those fires generally were over the summer.
Correct. And allowed a little time to recuperate, but still.
Usually.
It usually takes a rain to get the plants going and so forth. But the amount of area that was hit, I mean, every watershed, the complete watersheds of enormous square acre, or what was it, 256,000 acres or something.
Oh, the total. It might even be 270.
Maybe it's higher than that, 280.
Yeah, 270
yeah,
something.
Whatever it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember the Zaca was like 240, and this surpassed the Zaca. Zaca was 240,000, which is tremendous.
And to go back to, has it happened in the past, and no one anticipating what did happen, I remember one fire. It might have been the Sycamore Canyon fire, because I think, was it a judge who went down in a car down the creek and died?
That was 95, actually. That wasn't really part of the fire. The fire was in 77, the Sycamore fire, if that's the one you're talking about. But the judge floated down out of the creek, I think it was, in 95 during those heavy rains.
So that was unrelated to a fire?
Correct, unrelated. I think it was March 10th of 95 from memory, yeah.
You actually remember that. So, yeah. So, I mean, and it was one death, and it seemed like a fluke.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
It's raging water. You know, that was a little different. And it was like some people were pointing to this 1914 flood event that had happened in Montecito and how it had repeated at this time. But to me, it really was not the same issue. I mean, that was, we've had floods like 1969. We had the floods in Montecito and of course, the same event, March 10th of 1995, we had not only Montecito, but Santa Barbara, the whole water filling up to the bridge there, and people were jumping in and off the freeway into Garden Street there.
I forgot about that.
They had this mysterious rash afterwards, and it turned out to be poison oak that was washed out of the hills. So that that was a horrible event there. And from what I hear, too, in this Montecito slide event, those people that were unfortunate enough to be immersed in the mud and survived had to also go through this rash, this poison oak that was on their body from all the oils washing down from the hillsides.
So. And not to branch off onto an entirely different subject, but related, they were taking all this mud, and weren't they depositing some into the ocean, and therefore the bacteria levels went up in the ocean?
Yeah, there was no place to take it and turn around in a decent time, so they're just dumping it on the oceans, and you know, I'm sure there's some poison oak in there too. You know,
and so I guess they calculated that eventually it would be dissipated.
Sure. Oh, yeah, it's a big ocean out there. You know?
But on the other hand, though, we have such people who are so adamant about, you know, you can't walk on the beach and use a straw.
Right.
And I was kind of shocked that that happened in this town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, though, if, say, for example, if the 101 wasn't receptive to that much mud, it would have gone out into the ocean anyway.
It would have floated.
We're just intercepting it with these man-made features. But still, yeah, we want to keep our beaches clean, and I'm not for...
But there was no other options, really.
Yeah, at least not cost-effectively, you know.
So I intentionally never drove down the freeway to see the when it was blocked off, and then I had to go to Montecito to my Montecito office on Coast Village Road a couple of times, and I drove up, I got on the freeway and drove up Sycamore Canyon, San Ysidro Road, to get up to the Montecito Wine Bistro. And so the only real thing I saw was when you get off the freeway at Olive Mill and you go down Spring Street, you make a left on Olive Mill Road.
Sure.
Just to get up to Coast Village Road. I saw some mounds of dirt and I felt bad, and it felt, you know, made me feel bad.
It's horrible.
But on March 3rd, 2018, I was again on the Coast Village Road, and this time I went up Olive Mill Road and I was just
war zone. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I saw a house that I had showed somebody to buy.
Oh.
And it's no virtually
there.
Gone.
Wow. Wow.
And it was just so real. You see it on TV, but just it was so depressing. And I want to ask you a question. So as I was driving, you're driving uphill to get from Coast Village Road to East Valley Road. Mm-hmm. And then you get to a point where I saw nothing. And I don't know if this is correct, but I envisioned that Coast Village Road was lower than those houses as you go up higher, and that the road itself just became a culvert, and the houses on either side were protected. Is that?
Well, I'm not sure where that spot is you're talking about, but there's not much elevation difference between Coast Village Road, Olive Mill Road, and some of the home elevations there.
Okay.
And so when the creek became filled with debris and choked filled with debris, it basically just went around on either sides. And the debris flows were so high at those locations. When you see the
what'd you call them? Debris flows?
Debris flows.
Oh, debris flows.
It's really what it's called, the Thomas Fire debris flow. That's the true category we like to describe it as, because that is what it is. It's the material that was shed down as part of this fire. But when you're looking at the newscasts on the TV and looking at these mud stains up on the sycamore trees and oak trees behind her and him, it was almost it was unreal. It's like, you know, 11, 12 foot high, some of these spots, you know. It's like, how could that mud have been that high? Until you get out there, you realize, wow, a lot of material came down. A lot of material came racing out of the mountains.
It's so scary. My guest is Adam Simmons. He's been a geologist in Santa Barbara, and as his hobby, loves to hike.
Mm-hmm.
And you've hiked all up in the foothills of Montecito.
Oh, sure.
And then since the mudslide, you've been hired by homeowners and insurance companies to literally hike up there to try to, what are they asking you to do?
Assess the situation, see who's vulnerable with, either additional mud debris flows or
for another rain.
How is their property impacted by it? What could they do to minimize that impact? That type of thing. So,
well, boy, and now that when you look at the devastation, is there anything you could do to minimize impact?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's quite a bit of things we can do. There's some people that are immediately going in with their cleaning out efforts. For example, the Bucket Brigade, which is an amazing opportunity to help with a community there. But we just want to make sure that, hey, we just don't clean out immediately around the house and create a depression or a low spot, so that when the next rain comes, it fills up with water. We want to make a moat around the structure first so that we can channel any off-surface runoff so it doesn't just pool right up against the structure.
And so people who are on this, the brigade or helping, they didn't just go out on their own. So someone was kind of designing.
Directing them. Yes.
Directing them.
Exactly.
And I, not that you were personally involved, but someone with your type of experience.
I've been invited to do it. I've just been trying to get reports out. So it's been hard for me to break away, but I would like to get out there and be a part of that. it's nice playing in the dirt. You know, I've got some mud in my shoes here from Montecito here, and I'm proud to wear it there.
And it's yeah, well, you're just, it's so bizarre. You're always so busy.
That's true.
You know, I have like hundreds and hundreds of other real estate agents to compete with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do you have? One? I mean, is there how many jobs? It's so bizarre.
There's a bunch out there. But
you lucked out.
I do.
Come on.
Yeah, I like the hiking and meeting people and so forth. But I have hiked up the canyons both before and after. So it's kind of nice to put that in perspective. Hey, what did it look like before? What does it look like now? And I'm seeing areas that were very, you know, vegetative filled, lots of boulders stripped completely. I mean, like the boulders are gone. The bedrock down below is exposed, the original rock that I couldn't even see before. So I'm seeing a channel that was, say, 18 feet. It's now 24 feet or something, or 22 feet. But now the bedrock's exposed. So the boulders are gone. The vegetation's gone. And you look at these channels and you see where the vegetation used to come down, and it's been stripped 12, 15, 22 feet high.
Oh, my God.
Along the outer perimeter of these drainage swales. So it wasn't just like material came racing out of this little channel. It was ripping side to side, wall to wall, at a huge volume of materials with trees and boulders and very heavy sediments.
Right, huge volume in a short amount of time.
Fast, yeah.
Fast in volume.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, Romero, I hiked up Romero, and one of the neighbors had said that they were there. I don't know what they're doing at 3:30 in the morning with their coffee cup, but they're supposedly watching this debris flow going down. They said it was very loud and said it was going 50 miles an hour, which for me is probably an exaggeration, but maybe not. But even if it's at 30, that's tremendous. I mean, that's a tremendous volume of materials just racing down 22 feet high, 85 feet across, roaring down the mountain. Yeah, trees and limbs that you see were just ripping branches. And so when you walk these streets like Cold Springs now and you look up at the branches 12 feet above your head and the branches are broken off, that's from the debris flow. And the mud's covering the tree all the way up. Pretty amazing.
I, as I said, when I drove up Olive Mill Road, I just, you know, it was so sad. It was, mm-hmm. it was like it became so real.
It is, yeah.
And then, but as I said, as I kept driving, you know, it's only on the lower portion closer to Coast Village Road. Mm-hmm. And then as I kept climbing to East Valley Road, there was nothing. Yeah. Is that because the creek is farther away from?
Yes, it starts, it breaks away from that point right there.
Oh, that's
but if you walk
is.
The creek, it's pretty
consistent.
Yeah, it's devastating the whole way up.
Yeah, I don't even know. If you're driving up Olive Mill Road,
it cuts to the west.
Where it was, yeah. The creek is on which side of the street?
West side at that point.
Yeah. On the west. Oh, it's on the west side.
I think. Well, I have to think about that. Which one we're talking about? Oak Creek. Oh, that's Montecito Creek. Yeah. Well, yeah, they all cut across the roads coming across, and where the bridges
Criss-cross.
Where they dammed up and just went around them and just took out so much land. You know,
I had read some story where a tree was completely pulled out, and the tree stump went in, tree stump first, into a house.
Oh, yeah.
Like almost like an arrow.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just...
Boulders, trees, all kinds of things inside the homes, cars inside the homes.
I know I'm talking about, like, I don't even live here because I really didn't watch a lot of news. I just didn't want to watch
Some people didn't. Yeah, it's very hard to take in.
Yeah.
Very emotional, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and knowing...
To see it, too.
Knowing people...
Now
I knew two people personally.
Oh, sure.
And I bet you knew Rebecca Riskin.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Rebecca. Yeah.
Did a lot of work for her team.
Yeah.
And
definitely. Yeah, that was a tough one hearing that too.
Sweet,
all of them. Yeah.
Nicest person.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you'd want to meet. And I was always so happy for her success because she was on the
top
tops, of the heap.
Yeah. Yeah.
And couldn't have been a nicer person. And
very nice folk. Yeah.
And you get people, and then you didn't know Josie Gower.
I didn't know her, but not personally.
I knew of her.
Yeah.
Used to see. I didn't know her real person, but I used to see her all the time.
Sure,
she was
sure,
always
right.
out
yeah,
and
it's a
about.
Small town. Yeah, exactly.
And you know, people just didn't know
folks,
what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of like, oh, no. What's that noise? Open the door. You know,
yeah.
And
yeah.
It was so unprecedented.
Yeah, it was unplanned. That's for sure. It wasn't. Nobody really thought that it would be that devastating. But
well, okay. So getting back to it, you're a geologist. You're a professional.
Mm-hmm.
They were giving warnings out. They had, hey, you know, this could be bad.
Mm-hmm.
No one anticipated the volume of rain in that short span,
that
which
was
triggered
amazing.
Everything.
Yeah.
And is there I mean, in looking back, you could say, we should have had everyone evacuate.
I've heard people say that. It's like, you know, how did they, I mean, well, it's happened for, you know, thousands of years. I mean, we do have debris flows after the fires, and that's what we were anticipating. But the amount of material that came through was something that I would have never predicted. Even looking at it now, it's just hard to even fathom. But, you know, we had the debris flow just in El Cap just the year prior after that fire. So it's not like we don't see debris flows. They happen, and they do cause devastation. We had cars on the beach there at El Cap. But the volume of material that came through in such a short time was unprecedented, at least from my history of the area. So that was hard to understand, that material was just racing down.
And therefore hard to prepare for.
Oh, definitely.
No one could.
If they would have known, they would have made everybody evacuate in Montecito. You know, how would they know?
My guest is Adam Simmons. He's a local geologist here in Santa Barbara for many, many years, and I've known him. I got licensed in 88. Mm-hmm. Were you working in 88?
89, yeah.
89. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. And I know we go way back, and mm-hmm. He's hired by buyers to evaluate areas when a home inspector comes through first maybe and says, hey, you know, maybe you should call a geologist, get something mm-hmm. looked at. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, you're hired to go find water and dig wells and all kinds of...
Yeah, I look for water, too. And I even worked for sellers on occasion. I wrote a report this morning that was for a seller, so I still do that. It's usually buyers, though. 90% of them are buyers.
Could we... let's take a commercial break.
Sure.
Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. The phone number is 805-452-2428, 452-CHAT. And maybe we'll come back. Could you... I know you can't talk about specific clients and locations, but mm-hmm. can you talk about some reports that you're doing and what
sure.
you're finding?
Sure.
And I wanted to ask you, too, I don't want to get into the politics of it or get into the debate on a lawsuit, but the Montecito Water District had a pipe, and without taking one side or another, could you describe what happened?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Adam Simmons is my guest, Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.